Hello everyone, I'm Teresa Kleisner.
And I'm Jane McKenna.
And we are the guest hosts on the Careering into Motherhood podcast. So, I'm Teresa and I'm a personal and business coach, and my business is called Human Humans because a coaching conversation with me is just that, human to human, filled with mutual respect, curiosity, thinking differently, all mixed with kind accountability, which triggers your motivation and your deep inner wisdom to unlock the answers that you're searching for.
And I'm Jane, and I run Brilliant Me Coaching as a career and maternity coach, helping women connect with their career story and rediscover their brilliance. I'm a mum of two and became a coach after navigating two maternity leaves, a couple of redundancies, and a career change. And I now have control of a career that I love.
We're going to talk about embracing the identity you take on in the role of a new mother and the effect this change in identity can have as you evolve into a working mother.
We're going to discuss the role values play in your identity as a mother and in your career, and also how to build confidence and resilience and how you can change the narrative to overcome imposter syndrome.
We both believe in the power of women taking up space and finding their voice, thinking and speaking differently about what you're capable of. And we value supporting you as you go through key life transitions. So without further ado, let's get started. So perfect. Let's start our conversation by discussing identity and values. So Jane, what was your experience like when you started your family?
Well, I have to say, I felt like I went off on maternity leave as one person, and then I came back as a completely different person. And now I understand that it was because I had a completely different set of values and priorities. But at the time, I had no idea that that's what was going on. And what that meant was that I really struggled to be able to articulate what it was that I wanted from my career, what it was that I wanted and what was important to me. And what happened was that I then was sort of showing up in my career, but not as me. I was just making decisions purely around what I thought I wanted, because I was constantly thinking back to the person that I was before rather than the person that I was now. Again, how I understand it now is I can see that the roles that I took were really quite misaligned with what was important to me and who I was as that person. I had no idea of knowing why that was.
So what would have helped, do you think, at that time, if you could have sort of waved a magic wand and found a solution to be able to have a grasp of what your new values were, what do you think would have helped?
I think when you come back after maternity leave, you're trying to still work yourself out, and you're actually trying to present yourself as you used to be in your career. So I wasn't really having conversations or seeking out conversations with people, particularly in my professional life. I think what would have definitely helped was to have been able to be slightly more open and authentic about how I was feeling, and being in a workplace that sort of encouraged that. Again, there's this odd sort of mismatch as well when you go back to work after maternity leave, where actually all of the people that you might have met while you're having your children, when you're off mat leave, might be approaching things slightly differently. So I didn't have necessarily that many open and honest conversations with people either about sort of what was important to me, because I was worried they were going to judge me rightly or wrongly. What happened for me actually wasn't until my second maternity leave, when I think I started to realize why everything felt so misaligned. I started to take a bit more of an interest in self-development, career development. I spoke to someone who was training to be a coach, so I started to understand what that meant. And it opened up this entirely sort of new world of self-discovery. And for me, that was a bit of a seismic shift in being able to take a bit more control in my career.
That's amazing. I mean, I think sort of understanding what your values are the absolute foundation for sort of beginning to know yourself, what's important to you, and then how you sort of show up in, well, not just your career, but in your personal life as well. I know I was first introduced to values actually when I was on my coach training, and we were invited to describe somebody who was really important to us. It wasn't me who did the describing, but what was really fascinating was when that person was describing who was important to her, her eyes kind of shot up to the heavens, almost like she was blue sky thinking and speaking straight from her heart. And the tutor pointed out at the time that when somebody is doing that, you can tell that they're being really, really authentic. So when I'm doing values work now with people, if they're sort of looking down and saying, oh, I don't know, I say, I don't believe you, until I can see those eyes shooting up to heaven, kind of almost like in a sort of religious type pose. And I mean, that's a good way. You could try it on somebody else, maybe try it on somebody in your home and ask them, you know, who do they value most in their lives and why? And when they're really speaking from their heart, you can just get this feeling and this sense from their facial expressions that they really mean it. And when I did that for myself, it was really an amazing light bulb moment, because I began the journey of starting to understand me and what I felt was important. And that has really helped with all the work I've done. In fact, it's not just helped, it's been an essential part of being able to take up my space, to hear my voice, and to do work that feels aligned with who I am.
Yeah, I totally hear you. I use values a lot as well with my clients. And I know there's an online tool that you use with yours.
Sometimes there's not time to do it in a coaching session, but people can do it in advance. But anybody could do this now. If you're beginning to think, well, how do I actually work out what my values are? There's an internet-based questionnaire, which is very thorough and very detailed. And I use that with my clients. And they can then bring those values into a coaching session. So we don't need to work on it in the session necessarily. So definitely I'll put that in the show notes, because it's always useful. It's one thing to talk about it, isn't it, Jane? But it's another thing to actually know how to start the process of beginning these conversations with ourselves.
And it's so eye-opening once you do start to understand them, because everything starts to fall into place, and it certainly did with me. But the other interesting thing, which links back to the sort of talking to other people, is about not comparing your values and your priorities with others. And I think that sort of really has held me back in the past. You know, everyone's unique, so be comfortable with who you are and what's important to you.
1,000%, absolutely.
I love it. Shall we now move on to talking a little bit about confidence and resilience when returning to work, because these are things that come up all the time with the conversations that we have. Teresa, tell me a little bit about when you return to work.
Well, I've had an interesting career in that probably for the last 35 years, I've kind of worked for myself. And I began that journey once I had children, because it was very clear to me that I wanted to be able to be at home and bring up the children, but also have a career as well. In those days, I was doing video production, and I would take calls from clients, and I'd have three young children under five sort of snapping at my heels, and I would be literally mortified if the phone rang. And what I would do was really bizarre behavior. I'm sure my children thought I was the most peculiar mother. If the phone rang, I would grab it and I would run out into the garden and slam the door behind me. It was a glass door. The children were like clamoring and sort of pushing their face up against the glass, thinking what she's doing. And there was me in the garden saying, oh, hello, yes, you know, being really sort of calm and professional, or what I thought felt calm and professional. I felt a complete fraud, because really inside there was a big scene going on with three young children. And there I was pretending to my client that I was on the job. I was doing everything perfectly. I was red hot at what I do. I was probably working there and then. I think ultimately that meant that I just felt I had no confidence really in who I was as a person, how I show up at work. And I think that held me back for a long time when the children were very young, especially.
Firstly, that reminds me, it sounds like something from Motherland on BBC.
Totally. 100%.
It really reminds me of that phrase, we're expected to parent like we don't have a job and work like we don't have children. And it's just completely impossible and untenable. And like you say, you are not being your authentic self. So what advice would you give now then, sort of with the benefit of hindsight?
Well, thank God I have got the benefit of hindsight. My children now are in their 20s and teenagers. I would kind of say this is a long game, isn't it, our lives? And I think at the time I was thinking that I needed to show up at work and do it all perfectly. And actually what I know now is that we could all use a large measure of perspective and resilience. And what I mean with perspective is understanding that actually life is a series of roller coasters, sometimes small little ups and downs, sometimes large little ups and downs. And there's this expectation from us as humans to think that everything should be kind of calm all of the time. And what I would say with this benefit of hindsight is expect resistance, expect things to be tricky some of the time and to be able to kind of roll with the punches, but expect the punches. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the resilience piece. What would you say to that, Jane? Has that been your experience?
I think that exactly that. It's like there are going to be challenges and bumps in the road, and to not fixate on those, where possible, try and get, like you say, perspective, think about the bigger picture. And actually, when you do overcome a challenge, sort of congratulate yourself on that. It's like, I did that, I got over that, brilliant, let's move on. I think the other thing is that, coming back to, again, that authenticity that you talked about, is sort of owning that role that you play as a mother, and also, more importantly, specific to this conversation, as a working mother, you know, that's who you are, and pretending to be anyone different is where you can sort of, you can get in your own way and trip yourself up.
I mean, something else I'd just like to add to that point on confidence, because what is confidence? What does that word actually mean? And for me, it feels like you do something once and then you can repeat it and you can do it again. But on that journey to learning, I kind of visualize, you know, like when a baby's starting to walk, you know, at first they don't know how to walk, but they make those few tentative steps and often fall. But then with all of that, they're learning as they go. And I think the thing is, you talked about noticing your wins, and I think it's about harvesting everything. So going through this whole process with intention and awareness. And with that, you'll be able to build confidence so much quicker than if you go through the process of returning to work with that inner critic having a field day.
Absolutely. Talking about perspective and celebrating wins and noticing wins, I think one of those big challenges when you return to work is that you feel quite removed, don't you? Quite a distance away from who you were, what I call sort of professional identity.
Yes. I mean, your identity is massive, isn't it? It's literally switches overnight, isn't it? From being sort of childless to then having children. And who you are as a person keeps evolving. In fact, you know, I can disclose I'm like 61 now. Now I haven't stopped evolving, and my identities have kind of changed in line with the roles I do and the ages my children have. So to be aware of that. And you've got a great tool, Jane. I saw it on your website, which was the Career Timeline. I actually caught up with it through the Career Into Motherhood website, and I noticed it was your work there, which is brilliant. Talk us through how that can help somebody who's thinking about returning to work.
It's a reflective piece of work that we're both big fans of. What you do is take where you are now as a person and look backwards throughout your career, highlighting everything that sort of happened to you, and we're noticing through each of those stages in your career, right up until where you are now, what have been the high points and what have been the low points. Also, taking the time to do some sort of deeper thought around that. You might be thinking about a specific role, but what was it about that role that made it particularly good or particularly bad? And the benefit of this is you can actually start to see visually some patterns emerging around where you might be using your natural strengths in your role and particularly where you operate at your best. And this can really help you then looking forward as to where you might want to amplify and seek out more of the things that you want more of. Because the danger is, and what we talked about right at the beginning, is that trying to sort of keep hanging on to the identity of who you were before. We are different people, and we will be naturally after starting a family. But who do we want to be now? What can we take from when we were at our best in the past and do more of that in our career moving forward?
Sometimes you can use that career timeline. As you say, you stand on a point and look back and harvest everything that you've done in your career and your life, and then bring that into the present, which is what you were saying. And then you can kind of turn around and visualize a point in the future and think, now you've had that and you've learned from all those great things that you've done in your life and that you want to project into the future. You kind of almost restyle where you want to be. So just by a simple exercise, looking back and then throwing it forward can be a really brilliant tool. It's great to do it with somebody as well.
This leads us perfectly on to talking about our last topic, which is about changing the narrative and overcoming imposter syndrome and our inner critic. So everything we've talked about so far can help quieten that voice and give us a bit more confidence in our own identity as a working mother. So what else can we do to build on that narrative?
Well, there's a great tool that I like to share with my coachees, but it's also something I practice myself. The thing about imposter syndrome is our inner critic is rife, isn't it? Telling us we're out of our depth, we don't know as much as we need to know, other people are more comfortable in this space, you know, all of those things. And the tool that I use is to be able to not immerse ourselves in that dialogue, but be able to give ourselves some distance and perspective, and to become aware of what we're saying or what the voice is saying, then we can say to ourselves, oh, you're doing that thing where you say this, where you say, oh, I'm going to be found out for not having the right information. So by just inserting that, oh, I'm doing that thing, you're kind of putting a little break in between the voice, which could be saying you're this, you're that, and you're kind of owning it, and it feels like an emotional response. You're breaking that emotional response by being the observer of that voice instead of being in that voice yourself. And in that break and in that observation, that gives you a time to challenge it and say, is this really true? Is this helping me? Is this harming me? You can insert all kinds of helpful questions in that pause moment of noticing and becoming aware. So I think it's really helpful to give some perspective, give some distance with our inner dialogue. And for that, A, we need to become aware. And then we need to invite ourselves to give us an opportunity to think differently. I think that could be really helpful, Jane. Have you got any tips for that?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything you're saying. I think the power is in sort of acknowledging it and knowing those thoughts are there. So we're not ignoring them and we're not telling them to go away. We're sort of naming them. We know that they're there, but we find ways of gaining a different perspective and actually making other voices, other more positive voices louder, so that inner critic becomes quieter and much more fleeting. That's where the power comes from.
I do think women, we need to be the solution for this curse of imposter syndrome. And for that, I think part of the solution is us being able to speak about our achievements more naturally, not hide away, feel like we're bragging, hide our lights under bushels. I actually think we've got to mimic men more in this space and be able to sort of naturally fit into conversations with our colleagues, with our bosses, what we're noticing about ourselves, about what we do well, what we have done. I think we'll be picked up more then. We'll be noticed for what we do. Because, you know, no one else is looking out for it. So if we have a mind to move forward in our career and get promotions, I think we have to speak about our wins and get much more comfortable with doing that. And I think we've got to be part of the solution and less of a victim mentality around imposter syndrome and letting it own us. I think
it's like a muscle, isn't it? Maybe you start flexing that, you know, a bit more subtly, just start talking about your wins in a way that's maybe most comfortable to you, most aligned with how you might be in your normal self-deprecating self. But the more that you practice using that muscle, the easier it will be. And then when it comes to a point where it's actually super important that you talk about your achievements, so with, like, in career conversations, or, you know, in an interview, or with someone that you want to have a positive impact on, that muscle's already there and it feels like that's part of you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe start by practicing with your friendship group or your family or even your children. Wouldn't be such a bad thing, would it, to speak about yourself in positive terms?
And encourage them to do that too. Start them getting those muscles going early.
Yeah.
I hope in the conversation that we've had today, we've helped people take ownership of life experiences and those life changes. So as we come to the end of our conversation together, I want to share one thing that we could do, and you could do it today to help build confidence in times of change. It's something actually you can do as part of the career timeline that we talked about, but it's also something you could do as a completely isolated task. Do you want to explain a little bit about it?
Yes, I'm really into this topic of awe and wonder at the moment. And part of that process is being able to connect with our peak experiences. And what a peak experience is a time in our lives when we were absolutely acing it, where we actually felt so aligned with our values, which we started to talk about at the beginning of this podcast. But also we felt on top of our game, we felt really fulfilled, and our emotions were all aligned with the stars, so to speak. I think we could all think of a peak experience that we might have had. It could have been climbing a mountain, or it could have been doing really well at work and getting great feedback, could have been even giving birth to a child. What was going on for you in that peak experience so that you felt so amazing, so fulfilled? And I'm going to use that word harvest again there, because there's gold in those moments. Not only does it give you a whole host of positive emotions that you can use if you're feeling low, so you could reconnect with what makes you feel good, but it also gives you loads of information about what works for you. It is the thread which links all of our conversations together, because it connects with values. We can use it for the career timeline, and actually we can use it to learn about how to speak about our wins, to sort of kick imposter syndrome into touch. So it's a small, short visualization process, but going back to a time when you felt that you were on top of your game, and then notice what was going on for you and why was that so important to you at that time, and then use those tools to recreate those moments.
It's an incredible tool to recognize your values, strengths, natural strengths, really, and what's important to you. In our session today, I think we've covered loads of ground in the episode, and hopefully given you, the listener, lots of ideas and tools to help you navigate any big changes and transitions in your life. Thank you so much for listening to our conversation about navigating life changes. You can find links to any of the resources we talked about in the show notes, and we've added another one called Big Up AI. It can help you articulate and sell your strengths. If you'd like to find out more about the work that Teresa and I do, you can get in touch with us via our profiles on the Careering into Motherhood website.